Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club. As in Israel are warning that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. He's going to appear. And people get excited. You hear the rabbis saying the Messiah is coming. He's going to appear. And I'm like, pump your brakes. They're talking about the wrong Messiah, okay? Because he will, that Messiah will appear, okay? And he will bring a false peace plan, and he will bring a plan for devastation of the nation of Israel. He will bring a new temple. And so, but ani rotze achol haverim beYisrael lemevin echad deber. When the Antichrist comes, he is a false Christ. When the real Messiah comes, the whole world will see him at one time. Okay, that's in the Brit Chadashah, so you may not have read it. But Messiah or Mashiach, Ba'be Karov, he's coming, and you need to understand that. He's coming, but he's coming for those that believe in Yeshua who died on the cross. He's coming the first time. The second time, he's coming to rescue you. So, but you don't have to wait 7 years and go through. Every Jew is invited. The gospel is to the who? To the Jew first, then to the Gentile nation. So for you first, you can accept Lachabel Yeshua HaMashiach as your Lord and Savior and go in the rapture with the church and those who believe in Yeshua. There'll be plenty of Jews there. There are 3,000 of them on Pentecost that got saved, and you got the 12 disciples. So you won't be the lone Jew in heaven because you're with the church. It'll be a lot of Gentiles, but believe me, there'll be a lot of Jewish people there as well, okay? You'll have representation. So I'm inviting every Jewish person to accept Yeshua, the one who came, died, and rose again in the nation of Israel. I'm inviting you to accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, and to be a part of this great feast harvest or this great wheat harvest that's about to take place, because the second harvest of the season is about to take place, and that is the wheat harvest, the church. And the church consists of not just Gentile believers, it also consists of any Jewish believer who wants to believe the gospel. Praise God. Amen. All right, so I want to start us off in prayer, and we're going to say the Shema prayer today because I want to remind us that this walk is about obedience, and the word smai, or Shema, as we say in English, Smai means not only obey, listen, it means hear and obey, okay? If you say to someone, hey, how do you say obey in Hebrew? They're gonna say Smai. And then, oh, how do you say listen in Hebrew? Smai, it's the same word. Yeah. So God is saying, when you hear, obey, okay? And I want to remind each and every born again Christian that it's not just your job to hear the word of God, it's your job to obey the word of God, yes. Okay? Because when they asked Jesus Christ, what's the greatest commandment of all? He referred right back to this, yes. And said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Okay, so let's say this prayer. And then we will get started on finishing up this message.
Before you go into your prayer,
yes.
Shalom from Indiana, Germany.
Shalom, Indiana.
Germany.
Ooh.
Indiana, Germany, Tennessee.
Germany, shalom.
And hold on, Germany, Tennessee, Indiana. And that's all I see right now.
Okay, in Tennessee, shalom.
Indiana, Tennessee, Germany.
Okay. And Konnichiwa to all the people.
And Kansas.
And Kansas?
Kansas and Canada.
Okay. And praise God. Canada, my second home. Kansas, the place that, well, I've been there to just to play the Jayhawks.
Amen. Texas and
Manhattan. All right, Texas. Shalom. And Tucson, shalom. God bless you. Let's say the Shema prayer. And I'm going to say it in English first, okay, so that you will understand what the Lord is saying here. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is Ahad. He's one, okay? And it says, then you will love, and you will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words which I command you today be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. We're responsible, you guys. Amen. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your arm, and let them be as a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Vehavata et Adonai Elocha Bekov Levavaka Uvkol Nefishka Uvkol Mechodecha. Vehayu Hadevarim Ha'eli Asher Noki Mishvacha Hayom Al Levavaka Veshanatam Lavanecha Vederbartabam Beshivtecha Vivetecha Uletecha Vederek Ushakmecha Ukumecha Ushatam Laot Al Yaldecha Vehayu Letutafot Bainayanecha Uftaftam Al Mezuzot Beteka Uvishareka Beshem Yeshua Anaknu Tefilim and Bonalek. Let's go. Let's get started. I want us to look at the board for a second before we get started here, because I want us to know what we're talking about and why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the feast. I'm not talking about the fulfillment of the feast harvest. We know that there are seven, and all seven have to be fulfilled, okay? And they will be fulfilled the same way God wrote them. This one in a 50-day scenario, or 53-day scenario, of which you call Passover, and this one in a 15-day scenario. There will not be a Rosh Hashanah rapture, and then we wait 7 years for Yom Kippur, okay? This event happens in Revelation chapter 14. 10 days later, you get Yom Kippur. 5 days later, Jesus is on earth, and you get the Feast of Tabernacles, and all of the harvest will be. Do you know the Feast of Tabernacles is the Feast of Ingathering? That means all the harvest is been collected. This 8 days of celebration is to celebrate with all saints. Do you realize that? Every saint that has given their life to Jesus Christ, and every righteous person who lived in accordance to the law up till Christ, will be at this party when we return on the Feast of Tabernacles, and we will celebrate for 7 days, and then we will have another celebration on the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret, and that is how it is. So we want to stay within Scripture, because we don't want to start getting a whole bunch of ideas. We want to stay within Scripture. Now, besides these feast days, God wants to also harvest the world while he's doing this. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 53 or so, it says that God took the barley harvest out of the world. After Jesus resurrected, all the Old Testament saints came out of the grave and they went into the holy city. Then, now we're waiting on, right now, the wheat harvest. Why am I so concerned about the wheat harvest? Because right now, as of March 26, it will be the 120th year, the end of the righteous generation, okay? Now, that harvest will take place. Now, we have two possibilities. If it's as it was in the days of Noah, it will be, Nisan will be March 26th. The second month is Iyar. Iyar 17th is May 11th. So that means if he does it exactly as it was in the days of Noah, and it's in the second month on the 17th day, it will be Iyar 17th. Now, After that, 50 days later, after what? First fruit will be May 29th, which will be Pentecost, okay? Pentecost is not one day, it's more than likely 2 days. And we have a little confusion because nobody knows when to start to count.
Right.
Because it has to be after the Sabbath. And sometimes they start counting after Passover. And then now you, because if you start counting Passover, and Passover's on Thursday, you're supposed to wait until after the Sabbath to begin the count. Okay, so it depends if they're doing the count right, rather they'll get Pentecost right. But God will know. And so at Pentecost, the second harvest is at Pentecost, okay? According to Deuteronomy 16:16, unleavened bread will be the first, and they left. The second will be at the Feast of Weeks, that's Pentecost. Okay, the third will be at Tabernacles, and that will be the end of the harvest. Okay, so we want to stay within the measures of how God is harvesting the world. Okay, and so since these dates are so close, and the 120th year starts March 26, we want to make sure that I'm going to look up this more because I want to study this. This is phenomenal to me, and told to me by Jewish friends and other people, and they said, you know, Enoch was born on Pentecost, and the church was born on Pentecost, and it says, and Enoch was raptured on Pentecost, and so I'm going to look deeper into this, because that always fascinated me, because the church is born on Pentecost, and if the church gets raptures on Pentecost, that means Enoch is nothing but a typology of the church leaving at Pentecost and born at Pentecost and leaving before a flood begins. Okay, so head back over to the desk, and we're going to get started on today's Bible study. Okay, last night we were in Revelation chapter 14, and we read something in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, that here the Son of Man comes down to a cloud. And wow, he has a crown on his head. It looks like he's already gone through a crowning ceremony. Wouldn't that be equating to the scripture that says that David became king in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months? By the time David came back to rule over all of Israel, guess what? He had already been wearing a crown for 7 years and 6 months. So now Christ is coming back, and he comes down to a cloud, but we see that he has a crown on his head, which means that his ceremony, his crowning ceremony has already taken place. So I'm trying to equate the scriptures with you so you understand, because we're understanding everything the world's done, and God says you need to understand what I'm doing, okay? So, in this scripture, Christ comes down, he has a crown on his head, the angel says, hey, the time to harvest the world is right. Know what day it is? It's Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and he says, and he swings his sickle and he harvests the grapes of the earth, and it says, and the earth was harvested. I mean, it took the people who were confessing Christ out of the world at that time. Now we have even another problem. There are still people in the world, and remember, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are the 10 days of awe, pouring out the wrath of God. So now for those 10 days, the wrath is being poured out, and God comes back on Yom Kippur, okay? When he comes back on Yom Kippur, he says, now take the rest of those grapes and throw them into the wine press of God's wrath, okay? Now, what we need to understand now is how are we saying that the Yom Kippur service is about to occur? Okay. This is how and why we're saying it. I'm going to make sure I have all of these scriptures so that we can really talk about Revelation 14 being Rosh Hashanah, and Revelation 15 being Yom Kippur, and then of course Revelation 19 and 20 becomes tabernacle, and then Christ is resurrecting and he's celebrating with us because the thousand millennium is about to start. Okay, let's read this. Okay, let's read this. I'm in my notes, and I'm going to read Revelation chapter 14, verse 18. Now I'm going to read Revelation chapter 14, verse 18. Okay, Revelation chapter 14, verse 18 says this. And the angels came out from the altar, who had the power over fire. Okay, now he has the power over fire, but listen what he does. And he cried out in a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. You hear that? Okay, now he has power over the fire, okay? One clue toward Yom Kippur about to arise is having power over the fire, because now they're going to put the fire on the incense, okay? Now, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 5, it says, and after I look and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. Now, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony is open because when you open the temple of the tabernacle of testimony, it's to let you know that Israel is about to be protected away from God's wrath. Yes. Because Yom Kippur is coming and Christ is about to return. So Yom Kippur is coming, and this is the judgment. But God is coming to judge. Is God coming to judge Israel? And the answer is no. He's coming to rescue Israel. Yes. Okay. Remember, Moses came back down from the mountain, and his face was glowing, and the people ran from him because they thought he was coming to judge. Yeah. And he called them back and said, no, I'm not here to judge you. I've got I've got a brand new covenant for you. And he shows them that God gave me two new tablets. Yeah. He wants to reestablish his relationship with you. Okay, and that's what Jesus is going to do. They're going to say, oh my goodness, the Mashiach is coming. The sky has been rolled down. Back here's the Mashiach is coming, the one that we pierced is coming. They're going to think he's coming for judgment, and he's going to say, no, the judgment is not for you. How do we know? Because he established that in Numbers chapter 1 verse 53. But the Levites shall pitch around the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. You understand? So your high priest is making sure that you are being protected at this time by opening the tabernacle of testimony to let you know that he's not coming back to judge you.
Yes.
No wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel.
Amen.
Okay? Now, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 8, it says the temple was filled with smoke. So the guy that was in charge of the fire took the incense and he filled it with smoke.
Yeah.
Okay?
Revelation
18. Yes, Revelation chapter 15, verse 8 says that, and the tabernacle was filled with smoke in heaven from the glory of God.
Yeah.
And from the from his power. And no man was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were filled. You see that? But now they're getting the smoke ready, okay? Where does this concept come from? Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12 through 13. Now, and take the burning coals of the fire. Okay. Revelation chapter 16. I'll go back to Leviticus in a minute. But it says in Revelation 16, verse 12, and he shall take the censer full of burning coals of fire. Remember the angel who had charge of the fire? Yes. Of fire from off the altar before the Lord, a handful of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the smoke, may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. So this comes from Leviticus. Exactly what I just read you in Leviticus is the same that I just read you from Revelation. This whole thing is happening at the end of the tribulation. He's preparing a cloud. Yes. He's preparing the smoke. Why? Because the table of testimony is being opened. Yes. Why? Because Israel is not about to be judged, but wrath is about to come. Okay? And so now Jesus is going to appear in the cloud, as he says in Matthew, and he says that's when he'll come back. He's and everyone will see him from one end of the earth to the other. Nobody is going to miss the return of the Messiah. The rapture is a harvest, a taking up. Jesus is not coming down to the earth on the rapture day. Yeah. A matter of fact, he's not coming down to the earth when he harvests at the end of the tribulation. He's not coming back down to the earth till after the 10 days of awe on Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Wow. What happened to my brain? I used to be a football player, you guys. Okay. Now, it says this is all Yom Kippur activity happening in Revelation chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 15. So here we see a rapture in Revelation 14, Yom Kippur service beginning in Revelation 14 and 15. Revelation 16 is all the judgments that happened during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Revelation 17 is the destruction of the great whore, which is the Vatican. Mm. In one day, they will be destroyed.
Yes.
Revelation 19 is verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready.
Yes.
This is the wedding of who? Rachel, not Leah.
Yes.
Remember, the church has already married Christ and had a crowning service. Now he's coming back, and this is the wedding supper. This is the wedding of the Lamb. Who's he going to marry?
Rachel.
Israel. He's coming back.
The
bride that he originally wanted. So now this becomes Rachel, not Leah.
Yeah.
From Genesis chapter 29. And so Christ has two brides? Yes. Did Jacob have two brides? Yes. Did one of Jacob's bride have seven children?
Yes.
Who is that? Leah, who represents the church. She had seven children. Why? Because she represents the church.
Yes.
So as we're looking at this, God is already giving you his plan and his story.
Yes.
We don't have to come making new stuff up, okay?
Yes.
We'll get to Pentecost in a minute, okay?
Yes.
Now, so in Revelation 19, he says, his eyes, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And I'm reading Revelation chapter 19, 11 through 16. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called what? The Word of God. Remember, Joseph had his clothes dipped in blood? He is that represented this same Christ that is returning, that you, the brother you mistreated, is now coming to be king over all. And it says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, which should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress with the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty.
Yeah.
And he had in his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay.
Pastor, shalom from Turkey and Uganda.
Ooh, shalom Turkey, shalom Uganda. Baruch Yeshua, bless his name. Now, I want to explain to you something else, okay? You said God is going to remarry Israel? Yes. Where is this found in the Torah or in the Tanakh? Because remember, the Torah and the Tanakh has already told the story.
Yes.
You don't have to go to the New Testament and go off of the New Testament. You can say, does this line up with the Torah? Mm-hmm. Does this line up with the Tanakh? Was it already? Now, there is a young man whose name was Hosea. And God told him, go and marry an adulterous woman.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because Israel has been an adulterous woman, right?
Yes.
I want Hosea to see what I'm going to do. Now, Hosea becomes so unfaithful that he sends her away. Then he tells Hosea later, go back and purchase her and bring her back to yourself and tell her, now you got to be faithful to me. So Hosea is showing you the story of God. He's showing you that God's going to have an unfaithful bride and that unfaithful bride is going to be sent away. But later he told Hosea, go and purchase her. I don't know if this is a block or what, but he purchased her back to himself.
Yeah.
And that was God is telling you. So God did divorce Israel. He handed the divorce papers to Israel.
Yeah.
But God says, I'm going to remarry her. I'm going to bring her back. Okay? And so Israel can be joyful in a couple of things. God's word is faithful. If God's word was not faithful, you would not be in Israel.
Well, amen.
Okay? If God's word was not faithful, Jerusalem would not be back in your control in 1967. Someone asked me the other day, they sent me an email, Pastor Ben, if, you know, because, you know, they write the email as if, ha, I got one on you. So he says, Israel, why in Psalm 67, does Israel, that does not talk about the Six-Day War? If it prophesied everything, don't you think that's important?
Mm.
So the first four verses of Psalm 67, you know where it comes from? Hezekiah is him quoting and thanking God for showing the nations that he won a war over an enemy that nobody thought they could beat.
Wow.
And that's in Psalm 67, is Hezekiah's praise and saying, show forth the nation who you are and your power. And that's in 1967, and he did that again. So it is prophesied in 67. You just have to study. We can't just look at the surface of scripture all the time and think we got it all.
Right.
Because Jesus is on the cross and he's like, he refuses to take he refuses to take this liquid or whatever they put together. Now we know it's for pain because we've studied it, Pastor Ben, and this is what I'm talking about. Don't just say surface.
Amen.
Because if Jesus just refused it because he says, oh, no, I don't drink. You know, that wasn't it. That was it had absolutely nothing to do with it. Amen. Or I'm not thirsty because on the cross, he said, I thirst.
Right.
So it wasn't that. So what? Why didn't he take the drink? Because it had it was a painkiller in it that the women of Israel used to do so that they could numb the pain of the people that were dying on the cross.
Yeah.
And so they tried to give this to Christ, but Jesus said, no, why? Because all of your sins have to be paid for.
Yes. Yes.
And so Jesus allowed himself to go through all of the pain that you were supposed to go through, so that when he says it's finished, debt paid in full.
Yes.
That's why. But see, that's why I'm saying we have to study. We can't just say, oh, well, you know, well, look at there. Jesus wasn't thirsty that day. Come on. Let's study the whole scripture so we understand that Jesus is coming back for the nation of Israel to rescue the nation of Israel, because all nations are going to go to Israel and they are going to come to war against Israel.
Donnie has a question for you.
Yes.
Donnie says, Pastor Ben, please ask Pastor Sandy, do kings get crowned at Passover?
That is very true. Passover is usually the crowning ceremony. And so, and the Romans knew that as well, because when they took Jesus into the Praetorium, which is where they crowned kings, they took him in there and they made a crown made of thorns, and they pressed those thorns into his head, and they put a purple robe on him because they were mocking him.
Yes.
Because Passover was the time of crowning a king. You will also see this exact same thing happening with, I think, Solomon as he rides in on a donkey on Passover to proclaim him as king.
Yeah.
So, but yes, Passover is a crowning ceremony day. Okay.
Amen.
So yes. So let's. But he's going to have another crowning ceremony.
Yes.
But it's going to be in heaven. Then he'll come back and rescue Israel. And Israel will declare him king over all of Israel. They will say, you have always been our hero.
Always.
And he'll say, I know. But you know what? Isaiah says he will say to them, now I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. I'm going to double what has been taken from you. Because he's going to say to Israel this. Check this out. He's going to say to them, good job, my beloved servant. Because Israel is in service to God for the world.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
Because God is the one that blinded them.
Yep.
God is the one that caused them to reject him and to have him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to say, your service, your hard service is now over. Now I'm going to give you double for what has been taken from you. Yeah. Double the joy that you have gone through. So God has this wonderful, perfect plan, and we don't want to mess it up.
Amen.
All right. I don't want to mess up Pentecost either, because okay, we're going to read Exodus chapter 19. We did this a while ago, and it was, and we understand. Now, what happens on the 50th day after Israel leaves Egypt? They marry God.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Amen.
On the 50th day after they left Egypt on Pentecost, Israel comes to Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens on that day. Let's see if we can.
Were you reading again, Pastor?
Let's see. Let's start at verse 3.
What book again?
I'm in Exodus chapter 19. I love that it's in 19.
Verse 2?
Yeah, verse 3. We'll start in verse 3. It says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession.
Yes.
All the earth is mine. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to Israel. So Moses went back to Israel. And he said, hey, God gave me a word for you, right? Now, remember, he's telling them to keep my covenant. So he's saying, come into an agreement with me. You understand?
Amen.
He didn't just say, go tell them this. He says, now, if you fully obey me and keep my covenant. So he's asking them to come into covenant, right? So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and said, and they sat before them and sat before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together. We will do everything the Lord has said. So basically they said what? Yes, we will keep your covenant, right? So now God says, excellent, you want to come into a marriage covenant with me. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in the dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will all always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Now, why is God going to come to Moses in a dense cloud? Huh? Why don't he just appear before him? Because Moses would drop dead. Okay? That's why. Remember, when God appears, he has to always appear what? On a cloud.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus is coming back on a cloud. So he don't kill everything that sees him.
Right.
And he's not trying to kill Israel. He has to be selective
right.
in his wrath when he comes. So he has to come in a cloud.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whew. Let's go. God is good. Now, in verse 10, it says, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow then, okay? Mm-hmm. Consecrate them. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Rather, man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, may they go up to the mountain. Okay? So now we're saying, don't go up to the mountain till you hear the trumpet blast.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, we're not leaving here till we hear the trumpet blast. Okay? The voice speaking like a trumpet, saying, come up here. Right?
Yeah.
So, now, that is something the church has not experienced yet. Although we did go through Pentecost and we received the ring of the Holy Spirit, we have not gone up to the Lord at a trumpet blast. Okay?
Amen.
Because we're talking about something else. And it says, after Moses had gone down the mountain, I can hear that, Pastor Ben. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourself for the third day. abstain from relationships with your spouses. And he says, on the morning of the third day. When on the third day?
Morning.
Early on the morning of the third day. Jesus gone 1,000 years. In 2017, it became 2,000 years. Okay? And then on 2017 became the third day after Christ. 17, 18, 19, and 20, we're now on the third day. Day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. We're early in the morning on the third day.
Yeah.
This is when the wedding happens, okay? Everyone in the camp trembled, it says. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended in the fire. The smoke billowed up from it like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God answered him.
Scared.
this is their wedding day now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, watch this. Okay.
Scared.
The Lord descended to the top of the mountain and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, okay, and said to him, go down and warn the people. Okay, so this was their wedding day, okay?
Yeah.
Now God says Israel had their wedding day on Pentecost. Uh-huh. The church was born on Pentecost, and the church received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Mm. 3,000 Jews got saved on Pentecost, but there was no wedding. There was only the giving of the Holy Spirit, or the proposal, okay? And they accepted, and for their accepting, they received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So when is going to be our wedding? Okay? Hebrews chapter 12.
15 minutes, Pastor.
Thank God. Because I'm about to faint. No, I ain't faint. Jesus' name gives me strength.
Amen.
Okay. Chapter 12. And you know what? I'm going to read it all, because God says, start verse 14. So now,
14.
Yes, verse 14, chapter 12, verse 14. So now listen what God says. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Wow. Make every effort. You should. Well, wouldn't that be like you're trying to work out your own salvation? You know, I mean, he did it all. I'm saved by grace. I don't have to make any efforts, do I? Okay. Make every effort to live at peace with all men and to be holy.
Yes.
Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Amen. See to it that no one misses the grace of God.
Yes.
And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance.
Amen.
So he said, don't sin and sell your inheritance for something as meager as sin. Okay?
Amen.
And and those are the rights as the only son. And in verse 17, it says, afterwards, as you know, he wanted to inherit his blessing. He was rejected. Listen, he could bring about no change of mind in God's eyes, right?
Amen.
Though he sought the blessing with tears. Don't you fall into that.
Amen.
Don't you say, oh, you're living in fear, Pastor Sandy, because you're trying to live righteous. I'm trying to live righteous. I want to live righteous. It's
Amen.
My pleasure to live righteous.
Amen.
I'm not living in fear. Okay?
Amen.
Nobody, we're not teaching you to live in fear, because you can ask for repentance and you can stay in relationship.
Yeah.
But don't think that you can pull a good one over God, because the scripture says, whatsoever you sow, you will reap. God is not mocked.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay? So make every effort to live godly. Please do. All right?
Amen.
Thank you for everybody who preaches righteous living. And for everybody who chooses one saved, always saved, your judgment day is coming.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. It says, you have come, and it says, you have come to a mountain that can be touched. Wow. Remember they couldn't touch the other mountain?
Yep.
He says, when we go, we've come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire. Okay? It says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm. That's not what you're coming to. It says, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it beg that no further word be spoken to them. Because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses says, I am trembling with fear. But you who are believers in Christ, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem,
yes,
the city of the living God. This is where we're going. Okay? It says, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. This is our wedding, okay?
Yes.
To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Yes.
Okay, so God is saying the wedding that they had in Exodus chapter 19, you have that day coming.
Yes.
Have we yet ascended? Have we heard a trumpet blast and ascended into the heavens? No. So that means Pentecost is not complete.
Right.
The typology of Pentecost, because God wanted to show you that in this exact same way is the exact same way that I'm going to marry the church. Passover, first fruit, unleavened bread, Pentecost, and the church received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But there is a fulfillment of Pentecost, which happens when? At the wheat harvest, Pentecost.
Mm.
So now this must be now fulfilled, but this fulfillment, the wheat harvest, is also a wedding.
Yes.
Which we will go where? To an assembly of thousands upon thousands of angels.
Yes.
to a mountain that can be touched.
Yes.
So don't ever let anyone tell you Pentecost has already been fulfilled.
Mm-mm.
Because Enoch's born on Pentecost, but Enoch's also raptured on Pentecost. So our birth did happen.
Yes.
But where is our rapture?
Yeah.
Okay. And if Enoch represents the church and the church leaves before the flood, then the church should leave before the flood.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the wedding that we're going to.
Man.
We have to fulfill. I'm not looking to fulfill Pentecost. We're looking to fulfill what? All the harvests have to be fulfilled. The barley harvest left. The wheat harvest must go. The wheat harvest is the wedding. Then the fruit harvest must take place during tribulation.
Yeah.
If the word of God is true, and I guarantee you it is, because it always speaks truth and it fulfills itself.
Yeah.
So you can look forward to this 120th year.
Yeah.
That is about to begin March 26th.
Yeah.
And you can get excited about the coming and the marriage of the our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the first bride, which is Leah.
Yeah.
Okay. And we will be accepted as his bride, and he will reign and rule with us 7 years, 6 months.
Question.
Yes.
Robert wants to know, what's the 6-month tour? What is that?
I don't know. You got to read that in Esther. Esther chapter 1 will tell you about the 6-month tour. But he's just saying there's a party that went on for 180 days. And he showed them all his vastness of his wonderful riches of his kingdom. Now, I don't know what we're going to go see because I haven't been to heaven. I mean, I have been in visions, but actually being there and taking the tour, I haven't done that yet.
Awesome.
But guess what? We'll get to find out together. I'll be just as excited as you. So, this is what the Lord wanted me to teach for these last 2 days. Are we out of town, Pastor Ben?
Still got 2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes. Praise God. Now, only one thing that the Lord wanted me to, the one of the traps. I'm going to try to find it in Colossians chapter 3 because that's where I think it is in my brand new Jesus brain. Because in my brand new Jesus brain, I can do things I never did before, like remember things. I can speak Hebrew with my new Jesus brain. It's crazy. I love this new me.
Amen.
I would never want to be the old Sandy me. Okay, now watch this. Are you in, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. You hear that? Where Christ is seated at the right hand. Okay, where should our heart be? Placed on things above. We're waiting for Christ. We're waiting for the better life.
Yeah.
You're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Good. I don't want to be any earthly good. I want to be heavenly minded. I want to be in line with God.
Yeah.
Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Wow, God is getting plain here.
Mm.
You would start. Oh my goodness. I don't want the Lord to come because I haven't experienced marriage yet. I don't want the Lord to come because I'm about to open a new business. Or like the girl that was at my job, I don't want the Lord to come because I just bought a new PT Cruiser. That's being earthly minded, okay?
Amen.
Listen, the life you're about to receive is better than marriage.
Amen.
The life you're about to receive is better than anything that you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
So God is saying, keep your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Don't let this be the importance to you.
Amen.
Okay? Now, it says, for you died. When did you die? You gave your life to Christ. Remember you went down into the water? For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. And your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So God is saying what? Keep your mind on heavenly things. Do not have your mind on earthly things. Because when you gave your life to Christ, you died. The old you died.
Yes.
Now you belong to Christ. You will get a new life. Okay, all the glory of marriage and having kids. You have more than that coming.
Yes.
The new life is coming to you. God says, when Christ appears, then you too will appear with him in glory, and then you'll know what real life is all about.
Amen.
Stop saying, "Marry, I got to get married. I don't want the Lord to come. I got experience having kids." Ask my wife. You're getting excited about something that you have no idea. What was the sign we used to have on our door? Bundle of joy is overrated.
Yeah.
Okay? Because bundle of joy comes with diapers, crying, up at night, spitting on you. Okay? And it's all a joy, but I'm just saying, God says he has an even better life for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's stop trying to make like we don't want Christ to come because we there's so many things we want to do on earth.
Right.
There ain't nothing you should want to do on earth. You should want to go and experience the greater life. Praise God.
Amen.
And now we will end there and we will pray out.
A great lesson.
Because
somebody said you should speak for 2 hours.
And then you'd be the first one to experience me fainting in the pulpit. Pastor Sandy tried. Pastor Sandy, news tonight at 9. Pastor Sandy fainted in the pulpit. He tried to speak 2 hours because a member suggested it. All right, let's pray out, you guys. Okay. And the Lord said, when you bless my people, Moses, Aaron, I want you to speak these words to them. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chuneka. Ye ase Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lakai shalom. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So here it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Baruch Yeshua. We will what? Litriot by Shavuot Haba. Yeah, we're getting to the 120th year though.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So let's stay excited and let's live for Jesus and don't let anybody trick you into the, you're saved by grace. You don't have to live righteous. He did it all on the cross.
He's setting you up to fail.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right.